Welcome to the Humans of HR, a community and a podcast about HR and the world of work, sharing conversations, interviews, and news to keep you informed and entertained.
We're not afraid to ask the questions or go where others won't go. We're real people having real conversations about real topics.
No hidden agendas, no cash for comment. We believe the future of work is now. We are the Humans of HR.
You ready?
Let's do this. This is the Humans of HR, and I'm David Gazzarotto, and I'm delighted to have on the line with me now Kartik Krishnamurthy from Paradox. How are you, Kartik? Good to see you.
Hey, good to see you, David. How are you?
Very well, thanks. You're up there in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
How are things going up there at the moment? I know you've reached your vaccination milestones. You've sort of opened up, and there's still a bit of Delta floating around.
Yeah, look, man, it is what it is, right? It's at the end of the day, we all got to live with it at some point. So I think the government of Singapore is being smart enough to say, look, this ain't going to go away. We're never going to hit zero COVID. So let's try and make this into an epidemic and live with that notion. To your point, if you look at the data, we're about 84% vaccinated. But if you remove the 12 and under and really elderly population, we're pretty much 93-94% vaccinated. So there's a very small subsegment of folks. So, you know, with that, look, we are about now, 1,000 plus cases on an average on a daily basis. So as long as the impact and the burden on the healthcare system is managed, I think the government is smart enough to say, let's start to, open up as much as we can, to the extent as we can, and try to look at some sort of normalcy, whatever that means in today's stage.
Yeah, I think we're certainly taking a lead from Singapore and playing catch up on the vaccination, getting there pretty quickly. But the narrative's shifting, as you say, and I think that's giving us all, I guess, a sense of what the future might look like. And very much looking forward to spending some time with you talking about the future. The future of work, the future of talent acquisition, and all manner of other stuff. But maybe if we could start by getting to know you a little bit better. And I often ask guests to take me through the sliding doors that got them to being in that HR tech world that you find yourself in now.
Yeah, look, I don't think any of us ever thought that we would be, whether it's HR tech or fintech or anything tech, it just happenstance, right? I mean, I am an engineer by profession, and contrary to most good Indian kids, I decided to be an engineer for the first 3 years of my life. And at some point, I decided, okay, fine, that's it. I'm done with engineering. Let's go to the dark side and do some sort of a management degree. But then, I started my journey and career at a company called Corporate Executive Board. Where I used to be part of what they call a technology practice in the US, and then moved here to Singapore. And that was my first foray into HR because, when we started CEB in Singapore, we didn't have a technology practice or an HR practice or any of those things. We were everything. And that was the first time I started to interact with CHROs or heads of HR. And I was like, this is different. This is interesting. They understand what does it mean and why is talent most important in the grander scheme of things. And so that happened. LinkedIn came by, and then within LinkedIn, part of the talent solutions business, ADP came by, Cornerstone came by, and now Paradox. So I would say it just happened to be in the HR space, but I think the consistent journey across everything has been, I've always been in tech. I've enjoyed tech, and that's what I'm passionate about. It just happens the fact that I'm in HR tech. But even HR tech has evolved. It's no longer just HR, right? It's technology that's impacting all things business. And the people business within any organization forms a key portion of what companies are trying to get done. So that's my journey. I've lived in pretty much every continent globally except for yours in Australia. I've lived in Europe, I've lived in the US, I've lived in Asia. I'm sorry?
Noted, you're now higher on the list of people that I'm going to try and drag into my evil web.
Look, I love Australia. I've been there, you know, a bunch of times for work, for pleasure. Yeah. It's awesome. The food, the people, the environment. I've just had a chance to physically live there. Look, for me, I've been blessed to be around the globe, working, living in different parts of the world. I've got two small kids. When I'm not with HR tech, obviously HROs, and not with my kids and family, you'll find me on a tennis court somewhere in Singapore.
Very good.
And that's my passion beyond what I do on a professional basis.
Nice. Very good. It's always good to have a bit of a sporting pursuit. It's always good for mind and body. Mm-hmm. Have you gone during lockdown? Have you been able to get out there on the court in and around the lockdowns?
Yeah, look, when we had a hard lockdown, obviously we couldn't.
Yeah.
But we don't really have a hard lockdown anymore. We can play doubles, we can play singles, so I can go out even now.
Yeah, very good. We're not far away from getting back into some community sport down here as well, so looking forward to that. Excellent. So, interesting journey, and I know you've it's almost like you're also – it strikes me that you're tracking with the, I guess, the leading edge of where some of the tech's going as well. So that might be a good way of just segueing into what you're doing with Paradox, which is certainly a product and an organization that I've had some intersection with, during the startups occurred. I met with some of the folks, I think the very first year when, you know, they were on a small table at HR Tech in Vegas and, you know, selling the promise of AI and what it could do to help candidate experience. So give us a sense of where you're at now, and obviously you're part of the beachhead here into the APAC region.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's been a fascinating journey so far. So for those who don't know Paradox, we have a very simple mission. And our mission is, if you get the people thing right, you can do loads of things within your respective organizations. And, our belief is very simple in terms of when we think about technology or software, we want people to spend time with people and not with software. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that gets lost in the nuance because, you know, companies think that technology will solve for all things that's broken. And that's actually pretty much the opposite of what's happening, right? So, PwC, for example, in their 2021 survey of global CEOs, talked about the fact that, you know, if you look at some of the large companies or companies around the globe, over 10% of their investments are going towards digitizing or all things digital within the companies. And only, anywhere between 3-7% is being spent on leadership and talent development. So what does that mean? That means we are over-indexing on technologies trying to solve for everything else rather than looking at what is the need of the hour. And the need of the hour is, you know, people. It's understanding where they are, their mindset, their headspace, because technology can only do so much. So, that's our belief. It's, you know, and we think about talent acquisition, there's so much of process driven stuff, we call it the boring stuff, that people still spend time, whether it's your screening of resumes or interview scheduling or answering questions on behalf of the candidates. We know, and data shows, that candidates, like consumers, want to spend time with conversational platforms, messaging platforms, to get the information almost instantaneously. And then the people element comes as you think about building those relationships. And that's where Paradox, through our flagship product called Olivia, shines, is how do we remove all of the boring, mundane stuff out of the equation, automate that, so that your TA teams, your recruitment teams, they do what they do best, is build relationship with people and talent as you shepherd them through their journey within your organization.
Yeah, no, it's great. And look, I think what appeals to me is when technology is used to remove friction in the way that you describe, but it's also using the technology to create a very personalized experience.
Right.
So rather than filling out forms or even, you know, even uploading your LinkedIn profile into a an application, you know, there's value in that, but there's not much that enriches you. Whereas if you're going through, you know, whether it's the chatbot, the Olivia, it just feel there's a feeling that's created around that transaction without you actually needing an actual human to participate in it. Is that kind of the aim of?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Look, at some point, the human element does come into the picture. And we want, we're not replacing anybody. We want, at the end of the day, a David to speak to a Karthik to have a conversation about why I want to join, you know, X company and make that connection and interaction as human as possible. But beyond that, there's so many things that, you know, for example, you and I use Siri, we use Google Assist, we use Alexa, and we just basically ask any of these platforms from a conversation standpoint, what's the weather like? Play my favorite music. What's the most favorite restaurant in Singapore for chicken rice, for example? We do it on a daily basis. So why should we be any different when it comes to dealing with candidates? We find the right restaurants through, you know, a Siri. We go to a restaurant. When we go to a restaurant, we are now dealing with a human being who is telling us what's the best dish on the menu. So there's an element of both, and it's the balance of how companies think about it.
Yeah, it's that balance between high-touch human and high-touch digital. And I think when you get that right, that's really how great experiences are created in the digital age. I mean, we are in the digital age, as you quite rightly point out. And you only have to look to your kids to see how you know, where we're headed, right? And, you know, my kids, are they don't do much at all without saying, you know, hey, Google, or, you know, Alexa or Siri, whichever one they're.
Exactly.
I didn't say those words because something will pop up in my here in the middle. But it just it fascinates me to see how they just they're digital natives, and they use the tech to enhance their own world, you know, and they're not it means they don't have to go and read a book to find something out, or worse, trust that their father is the font of all knowledge.
And
you know, take his word for it. It's the downside is you're at the dinner table, right, and you say something with authority, and then one of your kids 30 seconds later says, oh, Dad, I Googled it. It's actually not quite that. And damn it. but the point being, you know, digital, we're now in the digital age. It's not about technology as an adjunct or as something that's something that we have to attend to on the side. It is we're immersed within it, and we have to take advantage of it and meld it within what we do, whether that's work, whether that's life, or both.
No, I agree with you. I mean, there was a very interesting CNBC interview I was listening to, and this was a consortium of, you know, e-commerce players across APAC, and one of the executives of this consortium talked about, as he or their business looked at how consumers interact with their platform, it's the expectation is, number one, the people who are interacting with their brand or their platform are, and I'm not going to use the M word, or I may just use it the first time, which is the millennials. That's it. That's the only time I'm going to use it.
Yep.
They expect.
That's how you show your age, when you start calling people millennials.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. you know, the expectation is.
Yeah.
When I want to shop or consume whatever you're selling to me, I want to have a conversational messaging platform where I can get all my answers. And then if required, I need a human intervention at some point, great. But 90% of my journey needs to be done through that messaging, whether it's WhatsApp, WeChat, whatever you want to call it, with very little human interaction required. So on a daily basis, to your point, David, that consumerization of who we are as people and our professional lives, that line has got so blurred that it's table stakes today that when we interact with X brand company, that same experience flows through when we are looking for a potential career or job with that company.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nothing worse than the Sunday and Monday issue where you're at home, all of your tech that you use in your social and, you know, personal life is great and really enriches and helps you, then you turn up to work on Monday morning, log in the systems and slump at your desk and having to deal with the cumbersome systems and processes that might exist. So I think our aim is to really let technology take the friction out and enable that experience. And I know we do a lot of work in that space as you guys do. So let's hone in a little bit more on that Kanda experience story, because it is a big ticket item now, right? So there's a lot being talked about, off the back of the disruption of the pandemic, and we've heard a lot being talked about in terms of the Great Resignation. There's potentially 40-45% of people are going to leave the jobs they're in now and the organisations they're in for various reasons, and how do we ensure we mitigate that risk by ensuring people aren't a flight risk, but also how do we deal with being able to attract people in the first place now when they're starting to think like that? What's your take on where we're at? What's impacting people from an employee, and I guess then translating to a candidate experience?
Yeah, look, I think the past 18-20 months have taught us anything is that employees crave the investment in the human aspects of work, right? Yeah. Employees are, they're tired. Many of them are grieving. They haven't seen family. They have missed weddings, birthdays, you name it. They want a renewed and revised sense of purpose at work.
Yeah.
So as you think about the fact that, how do they get that social interpersonal connection, whether it's with their colleagues or managers, they want to feel the sense of shared identity. And yes, look, don't get me wrong, it's important. They want the pay, they want the benefits, they want the perks. But
yeah,
I think what employees, and I would put the candidate journey into that mix in a second, is they want meaningful interactions. May not be always in person because of the environment, but they want a meaningful interaction with that individual, and not just a transaction, right? They don't want it to be just a monetary transaction between two people or two organizations. They want to have something that's more meaningful. Mm. So as you think about, and I think, you talked about the Great Resignation. McKinsey had this article around the great attrition or attraction. The choice is yours based on how organizations think about it. I think it's a very unique moment for companies, as this is a great opportunity for them to gain an edge in the race to attract, develop, retain the right kind of talent as they think about thriving in this post-pandemic world. Like you guys have said it really well, it's not the future of work, it's the now of work.
Yeah.
Because that's where things are today. And, organizations that are able to pivot and think about it and really focus and hone in on what is it that their people need, whether future people or current people need, that's what's going to make it, that's going to make or break for them as an organization. So as we think about bringing it to the candidate experience, we or candidates in general, when they interact with whichever brand, they look at that brand as also potential consumers of that brand. So the expectation of the experience they want to have as a consumer versus a candidate needs to be almost the same. And so, it's imperative on companies to say, how do I make that experience, to your point you mentioned earlier, personalized? Everything is super personalized and hyper personalized. Understand who I am as a candidate. What makes me tick? What do I want to learn about your company? What kind of values and things that I care about that you can provide me information on very, very quickly? So as a candidate, when I go through that journey, it's you as a company, and it's up to you to capture my attention and provide that personalization to me. Mm. Number two, they want to get feedback. Look, not every company I work for or want to apply for, I'm going to get a job offer. And that's okay. But give me feedback so that I can get better when I speak to someone else. So
yeah.
the data shows from Korn Ferry that, you know, almost 50% of the candidates, 60% of the candidates don't ever get any feedback.
Yeah, it's terrible.
When they go through that, it's terrible. And so if you don't get feedback, there's no way for me to improve. If there's no way for me to improve, how do I then look at what I need to do when I speak to someone else? So give me feedback on what I've done, where I should improve, so that I can carry that to the next conversation.
Mm.
And last but not the least, don't assume that I only want to interact with people. Yes, I do want to interact with people, but all of that grunt work, make it simple for me so that I can go through the process very, very quickly. And that's where technology plays a role and brings in and blends into your earlier point, the people and the technology aspects of what candidates care about. So, look, I think that's the journey that companies who are able to solve for will come out as winners, and will be able to attract the best people for what they're trying to get done.
Yeah. And are you finding there's a lot of interest from, you know, from organizations to take advantage of the technologies and to really think from a more human-centered paradigm, I guess? So one of the things that strikes me is recruitment, talent acquisition has been, it's been very transactional by nature over a lot of years. And, you know, what you're describing is almost like a flip to being walking in the shoes of that candidate and really trying to drive it from there. Is that what you're seeing, you know, more and more now?
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, walk a mile in your shoes is the adage, as you rightly pointed out.
Yeah.
Look, I think, you know, I was a candidate not too long ago,
yeah.
And I've said this many times. The experience I had with companies ranged from anything from never reached out, never gave me feedback. I'm still waiting to hear from them. It's been 9 months or 10 months since I've applied, to, you know, companies who took the time and effort to say, look, this is where you fell short, or this is where we believe you could have improved. Good luck. You know, the future opportunities, we'll absolutely love to reconnect with you. So, you know, it's when you put yourself in that position and in the mile or the shoes of that candidate, you get a better sense of where and how these people, the journey they go through. We've all been candidates in some way, shape, or form. And so when we become that person or that individual, I think it gives us a better sense of respect for what they go through.
Yeah.
And, you know, the clients we work with, they're saying the same thing. You know, it's you know, McKinsey coined the war for talent 25 years ago, and now that's coming back more and more. So how do companies win the war for talent? Southeast Asia is opening up. Australia is going to open up very shortly. When our economies open up, you know, there's going to be this massive push to find the best people for our businesses. And if we haven't given them that experience, guess what? They're going to be like, I don't want to work for you because of X, Y, and Z reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot to unpack in that. I think not the least of which is every business is a people business, right? No matter what you do. And to any degree, that means you're dealing with a candidate who's not only a candidate or prospective employee, but they're potentially a consumer or a customer as well. And in the social media age, like, it doesn't take long for a poor experience to get amplified. And, you know, I think companies are starting to really twig to that. Like, I think there's been a lot of investment on the customer experience side, and we're seeing a lot of parallels now with employee experience and how we, you know, how we attract and you know, bring value and through the experience for candidates, employees. The penny's dropped that actually, you know, if we don't treat people with the respect, then that could have downstream effects, and the multiplier, the amplification of that could, you know, who knows? You know, 20 years ago, it would have been someone talking at a bar and saying, oh, you know, I had a bad experience, and, you know, someone patting him on the back and saying, here, mate, I'll shout you a beer, and that was the end of it. But now 10,000 people were here in 30 seconds. And so it's more than just nice to do. It's kind of table stakes now.
Correct. You hit the nail on the head. It is table stakes. It is the word of mouth on social goes like that. And we've seen it so many times on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on whichever platforms people use, of really, really poor experiences and what that means to the brand reputation. It's I don't think it's very hard to put a number to that impact.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's there. Talking about the globalization, so obviously a globalization, and you're a byproduct of that from your career, as you described earlier, which you've taken advantage of you know, being a global citizen and having a global career. But it's also what got us in this mess, right? Globalization was, you know, a big reason why this has become a global pandemic. What do you think's changed? And particularly, you know, the talk about hybrid work and remote work. Do we have to think differently now about the whole talent acquisition process, now that we can genuinely look to acquire and deploy resources, human resources, from pretty much anywhere on the globe, if you think about it like that? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, the answer is yes, and yes across the board, right? So yes, the pandemic, we are in the situation because of a highly interconnected supply chain globally, and that ain't going away. I mean, yes, there have been pockets of nationalism and protectionism across the globe, and you know, while that may still stay for some time, we don't have to look any further than our region. Right now, the Asia Pacific forms the largest trading bloc globally with RCEP, right? The Regional Cooperation for Economic Prosperity. That's the RCEP, a Comprehensive Economic Partnership. It's a $26 trillion trade bloc, serving, close to 40-45% of the global population. And if you look at this trade bloc, it's now companies or countries looking at them and saying, I don't need anybody to be in Singapore to do a Singapore job. I don't need anybody in Australia to do a job in Australia. Hey, I can find someone sitting in Norway or in Jakarta or in Canada, the right people to do a role that is 100% remote, right? So with RCEP, with the globalization and the interconnectivity that's going to get even more interconnected in a post-pandemic world, I think the hybrid workforce is here to stay. Simple as that.
Yeah.
I think as companies, it is how do we pivot to find the right balance between, you know, people we need, within the country, or people do we need outside the country who can work on projects or whatever they need to do to drive what we're doing as an organization. I think that's how organizations need to think about this on a global stage. Yeah. You guys have done some phenomenal work on the now of work, right? So as we think about where we are going, I think it's not just company to company, it's now country to country, and it's region to region, of how organizations, countries, people need to think about where they are based, how they work. Everything is digital. We really need to be face to face anymore. Yes, in some instances, but most often than not, it's like you and I are doing right now.
Yeah,
I don't need to be physically in Sydney in a studio doing this podcast with you. I can do it exactly the way we're doing it right now.
Yeah. I wish you were in the studio. We'll be, to be in the same place. But the point being, we can be highly productive and effective in a remote context, as much as the digital, broadband infrastructure in Australia is a bit sketchy, and we've been we've tested that out over the last 18 months. But aside from that, no, it works pretty well. Sort of bringing it back to Olivia. So technology like Olivia, if you're thinking about that sort of synchronous versus asynchronous, and if you're looking to hire globally and remotely, if that's the style of business you are and you can take advantage of that, presumably having the sort of technology in that the assistant, what do you call it? The intelligent assistant?
They call it conversational assistive intelligence.
Yeah. that's a personalized experience, but it plays 24/7. You don't need to have a recruiter available following the sun. Mm. You've got the ability to create that. Is that a real advantage in the technology?
Absolutely. So think about, if I want to hire, if I say I'm based in Singapore, because of the pandemic, we are not able to get foreign talent coming in.
Yeah.
And then we also, some countries also have a nationalistic view of foreign talent. So if I'm looking at hiring someone based outside of my region, it's probably, a weekend, or it's probably 7 p.m. already in some other part of the world. And a candidate is sitting there saying, what opportunities do I have globally? X company comes up. And he or she wants to quickly find out, what's your company policy on diversity? What's your company policy on inclusion? What's the company policy on COVID? What's your business culture like, et cetera, et cetera? Why does a candidate have to wait till someone wakes up the next morning to reply to an email that he or she may have sent? They want answers instantaneously. Yep. So that's where Olivia shines. That's they connect with the company. Olivia comes up and says, hey, David, happy to answer and provide you information about some of these questions you have.
Mm.
And we are immediately now, through Olivia, engaging with the candidate because he or she is sitting somewhere and doesn't need to wait for 24 hours before they respond. We have an interesting data point from our research. On an average, almost 40% of the questions asked by candidates are after working hours. So Olivia is able to then provide that response as quickly and seamlessly as possible to the candidate when everybody is asleep or out having drinks, or it's the weekend. So that's number one. The number two use case for Olivia is when we find the right candidate, why does he or she need to go through, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 rounds of interviews? If you can't make your mind up with someone, an interaction with someone quick enough, then it's probably your process is broken, or probably the candidate's not a good fit. Mm. Olivia is able to quickly screen that individual. And if they are able to find that the person is a quick fit, put them through the process as quickly as they can from an interview standpoint.
Yeah.
So that now the candidate feels that he or she is accelerated through the process, and they're able to speak to the hiring manager or the recruiter, whoever that person is, for the next steps in their journey towards securing the job. So I think that's where Olivia shines, is in this hyper-connected, hyper-remote environment where people are all over the world. Olivia acts as that concierge, an assistant to drive the candidates to an experience that he or she may not get if they have to wait for someone to wake up.
Yeah, no, I think that's a big big opportunity, but it's been sort of amplified greatly, because we, at the end of the day, even in our consumer lives, I do not want to set up a time with a customer service person to go through a problem I might have on the consumer side. I would much rather interact, whether that's through a chat bot or into a knowledge base and ask search questions. And that's convenient to me. I can do it in my own time. You make a great point. I mean, the research showing it's almost the bleeding obvious, right? People are going to engage in the job search outside of the span of hours they're currently doing another job. So that makes sense. So why wouldn't you enable them to be able to access the information and the interactions that they need to progress, their interest in your organization outside of those working hours? It's great to have the research to bear that out, because that anecdotally it makes sense. We structure things around a business hours span a lot. So having to move away from that and have the tech help us do that.
Correct.
The other thing is that there's sometimes you don't want to ask dumb questions of someone you think is influential in the recruitment process. So interacting with ostensibly a computer gives you a level of comfort, I imagine, that you can get a question that maybe you didn't want to look too foolish in front of the hiring manager. I don't know whether there's research from your team to bear that one out, but maybe we could look into that.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't think there's any dumb question anymore. The dumb question is the one you don't ask, right?
Of course.
The old adage. But look, I think, you know, as a candidate, you know, you just want to know everything about an organization. And so the moment you start saying, what kind of a question is that? You've already now giving that impression that, you know, you really don't understand who I am as a candidate. Going back to my first point, it's all about personalization.
Yeah.
What may be important enough for me is what you need to tell me. I mean, I care about and I have certain ethos and values. And if your values and your ethos isn't aligned to me, we may not be a good fit. It's not just about, you know, is the candidate a good fit for my organization? It's also the organization a good fit for the candidate? And it goes both ways. And I think that's where, you know, technology can also play a big part, is providing those answers to candidates that, you know, in other people's minds may be like, seriously, you're asking me that question? But that question is important enough, because that's how the candidate thinks, and that's how they make a decision based on the response they get back from the company.
Yeah, of course. Fantastic. Well, mate, we've really overextended the time we had planned. It's been a great conversation, but both of us, we probably should have been getting on the beers next week in Vegas at HR Tech, and sadly we won't be doing that this year. But I'm pleased to see that Paradox got named the product of the year for the HR Tech, which is a fantastic. I mean, there's something like 800 exhibitors at that event, so it's no small achievement to be selected. So well done on that. It just probably bears out that what you guys are doing is really in the moment and getting a lot of attention and interest as well. So
thank you.
So great to see you. And I think shame we can't even be virtual at that event next week. I'm really, you know, it's knocked me around a bit. But we've got Jason Everbrook from our team keynoting and as usual. So look forward to at some point being able to get back to the events and perhaps for at least the Singapore bubble to open up so you and I can catch up in person. But thanks so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to have a chat to you.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it. Stay safe, my friend.
Cheers, you too. We'll catch up soon. You've been listening to another episode of the Humans of HR podcast, powered by the team at LeapGen and, of course, by you, our fabulous Humans of HR community. Be sure to spread the word and help us build this community. Leave a rating, review, and subscribe through your favourite podcast player. And head over to our website, humansofhr.com.au, for more great content and to connect to the community. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.